report on religion in communist lands, and we talk with the visiting world president of the Theosophical Society.
On a nationwide tour, Radha Bernier lives in India, and she believes that by accepting responsibility for our own actions, we can learn to live in harmony with all of life. I spoke with her in Auckland and began by asking her for the objectives of the Theosophical Society.
The first object is to form a nucleus of the universal brotherhood of humanity without distinction of race, creed, sex, color, and of course other distinctions like the differences between rich and poor, the more educated, the less educated. In fact, the object is to try and free the mind from the sense of division, which is the source of tremendous conflict. You know, now there is so much tension between people of different colors of skin. There are so many religious sects. There is the conflict between the haves and the have-nots. But if we begin to realize that we are human, these differences are superficial, outward differences, then we can communicate and begin to cooperate. The second object of the Theosophical Society is to encourage the study of comparative religion, philosophy, and science. There is another object, which is to investigate the unexplained laws of nature and the powers latent in man. In all religions, there is an element which divides people. There can be different concepts of God, and they are only concepts. They are not the experience of God. There are social customs. Every scripture has been interpreted in many different ways. That is why there are so many sects in every religion, which means the interpretation is not so easy. So which sect has got the truth? Now, there are so many aspects of religion which divide people. But if one comes to the heart of religion, the essence of it, you will find the teaching of love, of unity, of brotherhood, of kindness, and so on. So we would like to encourage a very objective, impartial study of religion to come to the heart of it, which will help people to live in amity.
As you go along that path, I wonder whether there's a danger that human beings end up at the heart of the thing, our understanding of religion, rather than God being at the heart of our lives, however we understand God to be.
Well, one can have concepts of God which lead one to become cruel and unkind. You know, this has happened in every religion. The Inquisition was set up in the name of God. The Hindus practiced the system of castes and outcastes in the name of their religion, and so on. So one must question one's own concept of God. A concept of God is, after all, merely a thought.
Is God, in your opinion, beyond certainty and beyond human experience?
I wouldn't say it's beyond human experience, but I would say the test is love. If it leads towards greater, more abundant, choiceless love, then there is something real in it. You know, the great teachers did not love only the good people, the people for whom they had a partiality. The really spiritual ones had a love which was like the light of the sun. It shed its warmth and light for all. So that is the direction in which it should lead.
There are, according to one of the pieces of publicity that I've found, three truths on which the beliefs of members of the Theosophical Society stand.
I wonder what those are. Can you tell me?
First of all, I would like to say that no beliefs are imposed on members of the Theosophical Society. Because we think that truth has to be found by study, by meditation, by right conduct and relationship, and not through belief. These three truths and various other ideas have been presented for people to examine. The first of these truths, I believe, refers to the fact that the human consciousness has immense possibilities of experience, of growth in truth, in love, in wisdom, in perhaps things of which we have no concept at all. They have said that first one travels towards God and later one travels in God. It signifies that there is an immense journey which can be undertaken. So it refers to that. And also the undying nature of the life and consciousness within. The second truth refers to the nature of that power or principle which is in all life. It is both immanent and transcendent. It is in all things but beyond all things. So it cannot be reached by the senses, nor even by thought. In many religions, one finds similar teaching. In one of the Upanishads, it is said that both thought and word go in that direction and return without having touched it. If you read St. John of the Cross, he speaks about the fact that and time has to come when there is what he calls the dark night of the soul, when there has to be absolute quiet. No striving after something, because all that kind of striving is thought, wanting something for itself. So this principle has to be found when the self ceases to exist in the form in which we know it. The last truth places great responsibility on every individual. It says that each man is responsible for himself. He creates glory or gloom for himself. And it is, I think, to be seriously considered whether anybody can receive something which he has not merited. This is in accordance with perhaps the laws of nature, because as science knows, in order to produce a certain effect, certain conditions have to be fulfilled. At every step of life, it is like that. If you mix, if you want to produce salt, you have to mix the right elements. You can't put something else and produce salt. So that's a little example of how conditions have to be fulfilled. And each person has to produce the right conditions in his heart and mind in order to receive more light. And he creates his own destiny, his future.
You say that you only obtain what you merit. I wonder about something like forgiveness, which may be given when you don't at all merit it.
I don't think that one can think of a supreme power which is partial, forgive some and not forgive others.
Maybe everybody is forgiven, or maybe just forgiveness on the human level from one human being to another.
Yes, of course there is forgiveness at a human level. But there has to be absolute justice and mercy at the non-human level. It can't be something which is selective.
Reincarnation is a part of this idea, and it does seem that with every individual given the power to control his own glory or gloom, that that could be a pretty lonely path through life. Do you find it that way?
No, it isn't, because it is two-sided. All life is one life. It is only the illusion of the mind that makes one think that it is separate. I would say that the very essence of theosophy is the realization that there is but one existence, one life. And so, although there is this responsibility, we are all traveling together. We may be at different stages of the journey, but we are still together. So we are all the time sharing together.
How does the study of comparative religions, philosophy, and science help individual spiritual evolution?
It is not the study of philosophy, religion, and science together, but all these are avenues to truth. Science now has advanced in such a way that they are touching upon metaphysical truths. You know, the most advanced science is extremely interesting in the present day, because science is no more materialistic at the highest levels. Even Einstein mentioned the fact that the mystery of the universe gave him the greatest religious experience that he knew. They are beginning also to realize that the more they know, the less they know. But it is interesting to see how science can lead towards that mystery which pervades the universe. Philosophy, too, I think is important, because one has to have perspectives. One must have some kind of an understanding of the relationship of man to the universe, the nature of the universe, what laws prevail in the universe. You mentioned reincarnation. Reincarnation cannot be thought of separate from the law of karma. But the law of karma is not a law of punishment, as some people think, but rather it is harmony, which the law which restores harmony always in the universe. When someone creates discord by the way in which he lives and thinks and acts in relation to his neighbor, it restores it, helps him to realize that he has in fact acted against the law. So to understand one's relationship with the universe, with one's fellow human beings, in fact with all creatures, that is really philosophy. It has been said the subject of philosophy is God, man, and the universe. But although our minds may fail, it helps to try to understand these things, to probe into it, maybe to hold certain tentative concepts which will help us to guide ourselves along life.
Radha Bernier, World President of the Theosophical Society. And that's it for this week, and I leave you with this thought. Love in all sincerity, loathing evil, and clinging to the good. Goodbye.